Well, hello, everyone, and welcome. It is Wednesday, and Happy New Year, Happy 2016, and I certainly hope that this will be a lot better, although the indications in the stock market show that it may not be. And that will have to remain to be seen. This is Karen Schoen, your host for American Freedom Watch Radio. Please visit our websites, agenda21today.com and karenschoen.com. Visit our Facebook page, facebook.com/American Freedom Watch Radio. And, of course, visit us on bbsradio.com. You will be able to see my articles, and you'll be able to get the podcasts of the wonderful shows that we've had. We have an exciting show today, and I'm very, very proud and happy to have with us Julio Lara, who is an author and journalist who I met at a convention with,
BW Central.
Yeah, it was BW Central. It was Bear Witness, that was the name. And I met and had a wonderful conversation with Julio, and it was then that I realized, after talking to him, because he grew up in Cuba, that many of the things that we are experiencing today in America are exactly the same thing that he experienced a long time ago in Cuba. But before we get into that, I want to take a couple of minutes and let Julio talk to you about his four books that he has written, and please write down the names, write down the titles, and he'll give you the website where you can find them. Very, very important. Thank you all. Julio, thank you so much for joining me this evening, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, and Happy New Year for everybody's listening. My name, like you say, is Julio Lara. I was born in Cuba. At the age of 14, I was recruited by Fidel Castro Communist Agenda. I spent 4 years under indoctrination. Later on, I joined Fidel in the mountains. We won the revolution. We start killing people over there. And when I saw so many killing, I renounced and left Fidel. 6 months later, I was fighting against Fidel again.
So you actually had both sides, because you started out for Fidel, and people don't realize that Fidel and Fidel Castro really presented an image that he was going to take Cuba and make it a democratic nation. That was the whole gist of his campaign. Wasn't that in the beginning? That was what he told everyone, and that's what everyone thought, which is why he was supported so wildly at that time.
Yeah, we was expecting that Cuba would be wonderful, that everything going to be perfect, everything supposed to be fantastic. And as soon as we took power, we started killing people. That would disgust me, because that's not what I fought for.
Who were the people that you were killing? Fellow humans?
The communists calling the bourgeois class, which is the job creator and the business owners, and everybody who speak bad, or they are not in accordance with their ideology. Some Ek Batista's people also were killed, but that was a minimal. The majority are from the bourgeois class, and I don't even know they belong to the bourgeois class until they came and they confiscate all my father's property and wealth.
First they started out enticing you, and as you said, feeding you all kinds of propaganda, kind of like what's happening now, and then they turned around and started going after the people who worked, the people who owned businesses, and the people who spoke out against Castro. Doesn't that sound very familiar to what's happening in America today? Not the killing, but the fact that the people are winding up in jail and being fined for speaking out. So I see a lot of similarities there.
Exactly. But let me tell you, the killing will come. The killing will be, is a must. They are planning right now to depopulate the world in 20, 30, 40%. Again, the depopulation is a reality. And over here, I've been trying to teach America for 25 years that what is coming, what is happening. And the biggest problem that I found to teach the people, they don't understand the ideology. It's an ideology of the end result justify the mean. It's a reality that whatever everything go, no matter how low, how criminal, how crooked it is, long is good for the cause. And the American people don't understand that, and they program through the news that they control. They program the people, and they start making them program mentally. In the same way we did in Cuba, I was training for 2 years to do that in Cuba, to follow. I didn't know I was learning that, but when
you
didn't realize.
Was this going on in school? Is that what
in
was going
school. Yeah, that's where they recruit me. In the school, I was in the.
Okay, yeah, so the reports that I'm hearing about from people all over the country as they send me their emails and letters about the lies that are going on in school, what they're telling about our founders, how they are demonizing America, how they are making victims out of groups of people. What you're saying, this is really nothing new. They're just following the same playbook.
For you to have an idea, in 1987, I was trying to help my kids in the homework, and that's how I discovered that their curriculum has a lot of communist material. And since 87, I started to try to wake the people up, and everybody look at me like I was crazy. And what have been a battle way up. Right now I have a site where I try to teach the people and selling my books. And this way they can learn to, how to protect, what is propaganda, what is a brainwash, and stuff like that.
What are the titles of your books before we go any further so the people can find them?
The first book is American Apocalypse. Yeah.
Okay.
How to Stop the Destruction of Liberty. It's a 3 or 4 book with the American Apocalypse name. But my one has the subtitle. He say, How to Stop the Destruction of Our Liberty. And my name is Julio M. Lara, L-A-R-A. That will help them to find it too. If they go to Google and they put my name, all the books and all the song speeches and all that is in Google.
Julio, when they were doing this, did they break apart the groups of Cuban people and separate them into different target groups and then go after each group individually? Is that the way the plan worked? Because that's what I see going on here today.
Same thing. The same thing happened over there. They, in Cuba, because over here, is they doing it by elections and, you know, different way. But in Cuba, we attack the billionaire, the big rich. And then they will scale down, and still they may leave or in prison or kill everybody that was against the government. And over here, I see the same pattern repeated.
Did Castro take away the people's guns? Was that also part of what his plan, what the program was?
Yeah, that was one of my first jobs with the communists, was trying to recollect guns for a revolution. And after we won the revolution, they got all the guns like they always do. But in Cuba, there's not so many guns like over here. See, that was an easy target for them. It's not a big thing like over here, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Over there was something more like...
Well, I happened to... I don't know if you had a chance to listen to Obama yesterday with his crying speech, his onion speech. But one of the things that he said yesterday, he was talking about mental health. And I began to think about mental health and who defines mental health and where was all of this coming from. And then today, a friend sent me some research that he had she had done, and I wanted to see if you find a similarity. I just wanted to read you one section. This is coming out of the new bill that was just passed. It was the early childhood education that was written into the new ESSA bill, which is really the government takeover of education. But yesterday, Obama was talking about mental health and how people who are mentally unfit shouldn't have guns. But then we begin to think, who describes the mentally unfit, and where is that coming from? In this bill, the Early Childhood Education Act, the psychiatrist's view on mental health was described like this. In August of 2003, the National Institute of Mental Health and the National Science Foundation announced the results of their $1.2 million taxpayer-funded survey. It stated essentially that traditionalists are mentally disturbed. Scholars from the University of Maryland, California at Berkeley, and Stanford determined that social conservatives, in particular, suffer from mental rigidity, dogmatism, and uncertainty avoidance, together with associated indicators for mental illness. The psychiatrist then goes on to say, every child in America is entering school at the age of five and is insane because he comes to school with certain allegiances to our founding fathers, towards elected officials, towards their parents, towards a belief in supernatural being, God, towards the sovereignty of this nation as a separate entity. It is up to you as the teacher to make all of these sick children well by creating the international child of the future. Oh, my God.
That's Agenda 21. Approved it in 1992 in Rio de Janeiro, and I read the whole book that they got over there, and this is that they coming with all these. They are tools that they are used to manipulate the masses. In Cuba, everything that we did before we took power, every speech that we did, everything that we say we want to do, everything that we was planning and books and pamphlets and whatever we did, as soon as we took power, everything changed. Then everything was forced. You do what I say or I kill you. And if you don't do it, I kill. That was exactly how it was in Cuba. And if you look this history in Cuba, 15,000 kids without parents arrived in this country to the Catholic Church. Can you imagine? Cuba is a very family-oriented country. To send 15,000 young kids to another country without knowing what's going to happen, how they have to be tormented, what they see was coming to Cuba when they did that. And the same thing is going to happen over here. When they take power, the kids at 12 years old are going to be taken from the parents and put in whatever they think, or they come to the conclusion that better fit the government. And this is in every country. I study 32 countries, their leaders, everything they did, and because I saw Cuba was a different. And it's not. It's the same, same. And what they are doing over here is the same thing that happened in Cuba. It's no different. They use one book, which is the Marxist, the Communist Manifesto, with the another book that this guy did. I forgot the name now. And now they got Anthony Krenzi, who developed how to penetrate in the Christian community. And they have been doing that for since the 70s, trying to penetrate to the... And I explain all that in my book, how they do it, what they did, how they fund themselves from the federal government, from... a non-profit organization, for foundation, the whole thing I explaining in my first book, and every book that I write is with the idea to teach people what is coming, what are they doing. One of my book is the manifesto, How to Save America. Another of my book is the manual, How to Live in a Socialist Country. Everything that I write is with that idea, to teach the American people how to protect from socialist communists.
When you were saying that, I just found another piece in this same education bill that is exactly what you're talking about. In this education bill, it says the state will allow the parents, it's going to allow the parents to be equal partners with the government in raising the child. And then it says it is the position of the department that all early childhood programs and schools recognize families as equal partners with the government in improving the child's development, learning, and wellness across all settings over the course of the child's developmental and educational experience. Since when does the government in America have the right to tell the parent what they have to do in their home to educate their child? And now what has happened is they have made the parent an equal part with the government. And it also says that the government will be allowed to come and visit the family on a continual basis for the benefit of the child.
And that's also a lie. They are the one who run the show. The parent has to do whatever they say. They take the kids when they are 12 years old. If the guy who, the father, the parents, are socialists and are incorporated with them, they're probably allowed to stay there and stay in a close college. But they try to separate the family. And this way is no, keep the kids all in one place, indoctrinated, and this way is not contamination with other kind of ideology. Because that's, in part is true, but in part is a lie. They are the ones who are running. And the problem, you have to understand how everything changed when they take power. We killed one guy in one of the towns in Venezuela right in the moment they'll take the control of the country, because he stole a church. That's the only crime that he committed. He stole a church. And the only thing we know is that a socialist guy accused him to steal a church, and we kill it. It's not for the church what they it's not because he is still a teacher or something. It's to do the example. Whatever I saw, go or you get killed. And that was everything in Cuba. I described the law in Cuba, the law in Cuba is whatever the highest ranking communist in that moment, what he say, that's the law. And it is in every communist country.
So when they have elections and 100% of the people vote for Castro, I guess the elections are meaningless because nobody else would dare to run against them.
Stalin killed probably more than 300 of his loyal force, the one who protect and go to the committees and everything, because they stopped to applauding first. I mean, that's a lack of enthusiasm and they kill it. It's a sign that they want to start to slide away, and before they do and they take information with them and stuff like that, they kill it. That's the kind of system that we didn't want.
In reality, all of these legislators who think that they have to get along and do what the regime is telling them to do, the minute the right people are in place, these people will probably disappear because they know too much and they may be willing to be the opposition. And from what you're saying, there is no way that any communist leader will allow any opposition at all.
Any opposition. And the more that you know, the more risk you have for your life. Because what they want is dumbest people. All the smart people in the party. But how soon they try to go away or they try to go against, they kill. They kill. Nothing will change their mind. When you become a communist, you possess a knowledge that you only can possess if you are a communist. If you know, you better be killed.
Okay, well, that doesn't certainly look good for our elected officials, does it now? Maybe they ought to start paying attention to the people. You also said something else, which I made a lot of connections with, because this is Agenda 21, and one of the biggest issues in Agenda 21 is depopulation. And they're telling the kids in school that the planet is overcrowded and we don't have enough food and water. And, of course, that is ridiculous because 75% of the Earth is water. So there's no way we're going to run out of water anytime soon. And as far as food goes, one of the things that I always tell everyone in my talks is that if we took all the people in the world and we gave them a quarter of an acre of land, and that's all 7 billion people, all the families, they would all fit in the interior of the United States. So how is that too many people on the planet? And what it really means is that they have to get rid of the dissenters. So they claim that they have to do things to depopulate, when in reality, according to what you're saying and what I've read, their real goal is just to eliminate any type of competition or anyone who is against them.
That eliminate is not just quite down, it's a complete elimination. They call it the extermination of the bourgeois class. Terminating. They don't call. They call it just like that. It's the extermination.
The termination.
And exactly what they do in every country. You know, Pol Pot in that Asian, a small Asian country, when he took power, just like Fidel from the mountains to take power, he got all the people in the big city and they make him get out and go to the woods, to the countryside. Whoever returned, they kill it. And you know that half of the population die of hunger over there, stranded in the mountains and in the fields. And that's the kind of the people that we are dealing with. And I don't see any different from the people who are here, from the one in Cuba, from the one of Hitler, who also was a communist, for a Stalin. They all are the same. When for you to become communist, they put you in proof and see how much can you lie and what you can do in favor of the party. If you are not willing to do that, that means if you are not willing to sacrifice, to download yourself, to lie, to make crooked things for the party, you are not a good communist. They don't get you as a communist. You are an apron or whatever. But that's how they measure.
So therefore, you would be mentally imbalanced and they would have the right to kill you because you have no right to exist because you cannot contribute to the state or to
right.
the party. So that is their... Okay. What is... Okay, we've been talking about socialists and communists and they are basically all the same. I see only a level of very little ownership would be a socialist. So a socialist would let you own something as long as they have their little grubby fingers in as part of it. But on the side of the communist, the government owns everything. Is that correct?
The government owns everything. The government owns everything. And this is going to be all over. And today they are making a lot of people, rich people over here, believe that they're going to have a big position, big business, and all that. But if you study communist, everything has to, the food, everything they produce has to be controlled by the government because they use the food as a means to subjugate the masses. Because they can't have that. Nobody can have that. Only the government, and they distribute equally or whatever way they want it in the poor masses. But nobody can make something in a real communist country. Because all those people, I am sorry for them, but they are in the same condition that I am. Ended up in a concentration camp and die if you know they kill me before I get there. That's going to be their outcome.
And that would be the final outcome. And from what I'm reading about the FEMA camps, they're getting prepared, and they're setting up the tools for that mechanism to happen by deeming that, you know, if you love the Constitution and you love your country and your family and your God, then you're mentally imbalanced and don't have a right to exist. And I'm seeing that in the healthcare, I guess. You know, when Sarah Palin said there were death panels in healthcare, she wasn't fooling, and there are, because that is a mechanism to control and get rid of the population by withholding care.
Yeah, and right now they discovered that they are using the vaccination, the flu shot, and other type of vaccination to kill people. This is nothing invented. It's already proved.
I did read that, and I also read that many of the doctors that reported this and actually made the connections between the vaccinations and death and autism and a variety of diseases that now Americans are experiencing are coming from the vaccines, but yet the doctors that proved it and all of their research, the doctors have been killed or they died mysteriously, and all of a sudden their research is also missing. So this is nothing new either, the experimentation on humans with a variety of diseases and things like that. I also read and regarding fluoride that I never knew also, because, of course, we were told that we need to use fluoride because it's going to help our teeth be cavity-free, and they got all the dentists. So the communities started allowing fluoride in the water. And now I was reading a couple of weeks ago an article about the Holocaust and about the Warsaw Ghetto and how they put fluoride in the water because fluoride inhibits the person's thought process and, as you said, makes them dumb and subservient.
Correct. They will do all kinds of tactics just to get rid of the population that they don't want. They use a double standard in everything. If you belong to the party, but a lot of people don't understand what is belong to the party.
No, can you explain that?
You have to really dedicate your life to the party. The party has to be your main thing, your main everything. Let's put it, for example, Che Guevara.
I'm glad you said that, because I was just going to ask you about him, because our children are being taught that he's a hero. I couldn't believe that.
Che Guevara don't allow his wife to drive a government vehicle, just for an example, to give example to the other communists. That's true. That happened in Cuba. And this is the one who thinks that they want to play like communists and get away with that, they are wrong. You have to be a communist. You have to dedicate your life to the party if you want it. And after you do that, then they have an elite. It's about 3%. And they own everything. They do whatever they want. They even can kill people, and nobody can do anything about it. But that elite is the one who runs the country. And that elite is 100% communist. It's a big leaders. Maybe they are not so pure. But that elite is pure. It's a communist 100%. A lot of people think that they can get away with this or that, and that to be a communist, you have to dedicate your life to the party. Your leader has to be your God and your family and everything. It's not something that you can manipulate or stuff like that. This is coming. That's coming. And everything, all the usual idiots, how Hitler used to call them, they will be part of the working class, not too much benefit out, no matter what they have done. If they are not steady, if they don't follow the party's ideology, if they don't contribute 100% to their ideology, you are not belonging to the elite. And if you don't belong to the elite, it's almost the low class. It's only high class, the elite, and poor class, the poor. That's all exists in the communist regime.
So the idea of the middle class shrinking in America is being done on purpose because in communism, from what you just said, they're only allowed two classes, those that have and those that are the slaves who have nothing.
Right, only two classes. And the one that they belong to the party, they can do whatever they want. This
and
is,
that means coming to somebody's house whenever they feel like it, knocking on the door or breaking down the door in the middle of the night and whisking you away for no reason at all.
Yeah, yeah. If you have a pretty daughter who is has soon become 15 and one communist like that daughter, you can tell him that he cannot use her. This is a normal procedure in the communists, whatever the party say, everybody. And that's why they killed the guy who stole the church, because they want to create the panic. And after the panic is created, you see kill a guy for stealing a church. But nobody do anything. It's they are panic. And that's exactly how they govern the country. That's exactly how they do it. How they do it.
It's, so the Cuban people, there is no opposition. They just accept. Is that basically what has happened over time?
The communists, after they've been 30 years, is what is considered one and a half generation, and the old generation is almost gone. They solved their law, and they are a little bit more. It's not that that one that I'm talking about is for them to get established.
So once they're established, they wait about a generation until the people like us die off, and then they have their crop, which are the people that they've educated in these schools with all of this propaganda.
Right. And what happened in the school, and is happening right now in the school, the smart, the one who promised to be some kind of good communist, they educated right with their ideology. And the other ones, they don't want they to be smart. For example, and now you have the classes of the some kind of mathematics where 2 by 2 is 5. And they say, well, let's consider it. Even if it's wrong, it's considered. That's because they're eliminating certainty. And in mathematics, certainty is the most beautiful thing for the mind of the kid. That's how they destroy the mind. They make out of everybody dummies that they can manipulate like they were cows or animals. That's the way. That's right, how they do it.
They would be hurting the people. Yes, that is absolutely right, and that is exactly what we're seeing. I just read a couple of minutes ago before the broadcast in Florida. In order for the kids to get passing grades, they lowered the standard so that they would have a lower grade for the kids to pass. But the majority, almost half of the 10th graders, failed anyway. I mean, I cannot imagine going to a mechanic or an engineer who has gone through this education. How do you do anything? And then I realized they're not doing anything. They're just plugging in things into a computer, which is doing everything. So the kid doesn't learn anything except how to hit the right keys on the keyboard.
Communism is not based like America in produce something. Communism is based in use the resources, the natural resources. That's why nobody has a car except the elite, because you consume the gas, and that costs money. Because everything, you have to use a mule to take the fruit to move. You have to take... it's complete. They can't do anything that use resources. The resources, they have to be saved, and they have to use whatever resources they are. That's why in Cuba they have the same houses that we have left over there, except over the places where the tourists go. Everything else is the same that we left there. Only the 50 years of destruction. Because they don't believe in that. That's their ideology. It's, you don't need money to live. Or you can live three families in the same house. It's a complete different system. And when they formate, they program the mind of the masses, they accept that and they live. They don't have to worry about electricity. They don't have to worry about water. They don't have to worry about things. That's the way that you make them believe is the right way, and they accept it. And after 30 years, nobody even talk. In Cuba, they got some opposition. So always some people who oppose. But they are treated very harsh. They always exist, but a very minimal, very minimal. Communists, after they are established for 30 years, is almost no. Whatever the leaders say, everybody does it, even if they have to be hungry.
There is no thought except what they are allowed to think. And from
correct.
What you're describing, that's exactly what's going on here. They had like four or five key points which communists have to hit, and it looks like in America we're hitting them, although the good news is we may actually be able to turn this around a little with the right person in office. And hopefully the right people in our legislature, whether it happens to be in the state or federally. But the majority, from what I'm seeing, industry after industry, they regulate the industry until it's so hard for the individual to do business. The individual goes out of business, and then the government takes over the business. And it looks like the next target that they're working on is the energy sector. So in Cuba, the energy is not owned, I would imagine, by individuals. There's no little electric co-ops or utility companies. It's all owned by the government.
Everything is owned by the government. And not only in Cuba, in every communist country is the same. I study it all. And they use the same tax, the same mode, the same everything. And they follow one book which holds the instruction to the letter, because that's how they can stay in power forever.
And
so, over here,
from what I'm seeing from here, the target on the energy sector is now they've got the education. They've got health care, and it looks like now they're working on energy, and they're using the environmental movement to scare the people into using low-cost energy. And that is putting energy companies out of business. And now I imagine after that, when the companies go out of business, the government will go in and take them over. That's what it looks like.
When I see people who say, I don't do this, I don't do that, sometimes I laugh, because, you know, when you don't have food on the table and you go and you need a ration card to get some food from the government, the only one who has some, and you arrive over there, and they tell him, what is your name? And take, oh, but it look like you have a gun. You have to go over here and straight up before I give you any food. What you going to do? You want to die of hunger? Or you want to steal in a government that kill whoever steals something? Or you going to go and release the rifle and come back to for your food?
Leave the rifle and get the food. You're right. That's exactly right.
Yeah, and that's the way they operate. It's not middle ground with them. It's what they say in one way or another.
If I remember correctly, when Stalin got into power, the first thing that he did was starve and kill the farmers. And then there was no food because nobody knew how to farm. And then more people died as a famine, as a result of a famine.
The first one who started that was Lenin.
Mm-hmm.
Lenin went and took off all the seeds and all the farm instruments, or how do they call them? And how soon they took everything from the farmers, they can produce anything. And you, I believe, if I don't recall, 7 million died, and they were dying in the roads everywhere because that year was not production. They stole the farm equipment, and they stole the seed, and the farmer cannot grow anything. And that's how they eliminate the agriculture in sectors. So over here, they are buying the farms. That's what they are doing.
You know, something, you're right. They're doing the same thing in Florida also. I'm seeing more and more farms going under and more international groups coming in and buying the land of the farms. And now you just gave me another thought, because all the genetically modified food, which they're pushing, the seeds are going to be controlled by Monsanto, controlled by the government. So how are you going to be able to get seed if you don't get it from the government? You're absolutely right. I hadn't thought of that.
Yep, that's the way they want to do it.
Because the genetically modified food does not reproduce. You have to go back each year and get more seed, whereas many of the other crops will grow seed in the fruit, and then you can just recreate that fruit by using the seed. But the genetically modified food does not do that. It does not reproduce. So that would be the way they would be controlling the people and controlling the food. And if I remember correctly, at a UN meeting or at a meeting, China said food is a weapon and we will use it accordingly.
Yeah. And you know, over here, the farmers, they don't use their seed. They come and they sue the farmers because they say that the wind take that generic thing and the farmer was a benefit without paying. And they suing that. And the government allowed them to do that just to eliminate the bad farmers. It's unbelievable what they're doing.
I'm beginning to see that more and more because I live up in the rural area of Florida. And as I drive around in the counties, I'm seeing more and more farmland doing absolutely nothing. And yet I'm hearing continually how there are food shortages and we're going to have food crises, et cetera, et cetera. But yet the farmers, because of all of the obtrusive regulations, can't afford to farm. That's really what it comes down to. I met a farmer when I was traveling, and he had a magnificent piece of property, and it was, I think, 75 acres, and he wasn't growing anything. And I asked him, I said, why aren't you growing something? And he said, because when he grew the crop last year, he made $1.4 million in gross revenue. And by the time he paid all of the fees and all of the production costs and all of the regulatory costs and did all of the things that he had to do, he and his family were left with $40,000. He said, we can't live on that. I had to do something else. So that is the way, I guess, that they would be starting to get rid of the farmers by regulating the farming out of business.
Yeah, that's they do it in every industry. But the farmers are number one because they are in the middle of a conflict which creates something that cannot be done in a socialist country. And that's farmers, truckers, mines, electric companies. That's the first one that has to go. And go for the government. After that come the banks, because they control the people to the bank. They know where their activity is, what they do.
Well, they you're right, because he just did that 2 years ago by making it very difficult for gun shop owners to get lines of credit to be able to buy ammunition and inventory. So when they don't like the industry, they stop giving the people who need it the credit to be able to continue their business.
They can even use a credit card processing device. That's happening over here in this country. They cannot allow to use that.
Well, and it's the similarities are outstanding, and folks, it's really, really important that you understand the history of communism, because no matter what country you look at, no matter what dictator you look at, they all play by the same game, and that is they will lie, they will cheat. They will steal because their goal is always the same, money, power, and control. And every single industry is taken down the same way. So when you know the game plan, it's easier to fight against it. Not only is every industry taken down the same way, but they are all interconnected. And that's very important, too, because now what your child fills out in school goes onto a national database. What your doctor fills out from your health form goes onto a national database. And if you ever want to travel or buy anything, your national database is going to be pulled up, and everything that you have done or said in your lifetime is going to be on that list. This is a very frightening thing, folks. This is very, very frightening. Julio, I want to thank you so much for joining me this evening. I can't believe the hour has gone away so quickly. And folks, please Google Julio M. Lara. And are your books on Amazon?
Yeah, they are on Amazon. They are... but if they go to Google and they put Julio M. Lara, everything they got come out over there.
Okay, and that would be J-U-L-I-O-M-L-A-R-A. Please look up Julio, read his story. This is firsthand information. This is not something that was made up in someone's head. This is a man who has experienced communism and wants to share and teach. Julio, I cannot thank you enough for joining me this evening. It has been a pleasure, and I hope very informative for myself, I know that, and for our listeners. Thank you all for listening. Folks, you have been listening to American Freedom Watch Radio. This is your host, Karen Schoen. We are brought to you every other Wednesday on bbsradio.com. Please visit our websites, agenda21today.com and karenschoen.com. visit our Facebook page, facebook.com/American Freedom Watch Radio. Go to our website, sign up, get the newsletter, and be informed, because the most important thing that you can do right now is learn and then share that knowledge with others. Thank you all for listening this evening. Thank you, Julio, again. God bless everyone. God bless our military and keep them strong. And please say prayers for those in Afghanistan, because the Middle East is going to explode. And we certainly want our soldiers to make sure that God is with them at all times. Thank you all. God bless you all. And God bless America.
God bless America.
We'll be right back.